Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We'll be in verses 7 through 13. Now, this morning I've asked Lon if he would read those for us. So, sir, if you would.
These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heavens from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning thanking you for all that you've done. Lord, it's hard to put into words what it takes to send your one and only Son, to die for us, to provide a way of salvation for someone like me. So, Father, as we set aside our cares of the day and worrying about what we're going to have for dinner, and Lord, just help us to focus our minds on the encouraging word that is given here to the church in Philadelphia. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philadelphia is about 25 miles south of Sardis. It was founded by Philadelphus, who was the king of Pergamos at the time. Now, it's known for brotherly love, but it's not necessarily for the brotherly love as in a Christian sense. Okay, it was brotherly love due to his affection for his own brother. So that's where we get it. So let's pick up here in verse 7. Verse 7 says, These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. Just read the rest of the verse there for me, if you would, please. I'm sorry. Now, this is talking about deity. Okay, it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. Deity is delivering this message to the church at Philadelphia. Notice, we have like the King of David, or the Key of David, which cross-reference there, if you're going to the Old Testament, is Isaiah 22:22.
Isaiah
You have the keys of heaven and hell, okay, which is Revelation 1:18. We've already covered some of that. And then you have the keys to open the kingdom of heaven. That would be Acts chapter 2. Why is it important for us to realize that this is deity speaking? Isn't this God's word? Nod your head yes, class. Absolutely. But why is it important for the church at Philadelphia? It's important because we need to remember the power of our Savior. Now, if you drop down to verse 8, in the middle of that verse, it says, "See, I have placed for you, okay, I placed before you an open door that no one can shut." This is not talking about the door of salvation. This is talking about the door of opportunity for you and me. Acts 14, verse 27. 1 Corinthians, okay, 16 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 12. Jesus has the key to the door of service. Now, who's going to question him about that? You going to question him? I'm not. Okay. But it'll be under, you know, it's going to be a great day when we understand that God has given us opportunities to serve Him. How many of us realize, as we sit here this morning, how many of us realize opportunities that we have in this very community? And yet, we still find a need. We talked about that this morning. What happens? Jesus says, "I am the door, and I will place you where I want you to serve." I had to think about this a little bit, and it dawned on me. Okay, why is Dan Andrus here and not at Smith Center? Smith Center's looking for a pastor. Has been for a long time. Why is Dan Andrus here? Because this is where God wants me. This is why you and I need to make sure that we are where God wants us. Not where necessarily where we think we want to go, but now you'll say, "Well, we're supposed to go to all the world." Absolutely. And we are. But what happens when we decide on our own where to go? Having done that once or twice, it doesn't fare well. I'll just leave it at that. Okay? Philadelphia church experienced an open door because of their faithfulness, okay? They kept God's word. Are we keeping God's word? Not talking about it, keeping it. And they did not deny his name. How would we deny God's name? One of the simplest ways I can find out is, look, when the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and you're not obedient and you just keep your mouth shut. Yours truly is guilty of that too many times. Philadelphia, okay, was the second church without a rebuke, without a reproof. Who was the other church? You remember? Smyrna. Smyrna was a suffering church. It was a persecuted church. It was the church that was covered in blood. Philadelphia is a weak but faithful church, and is not rebuked, but on the contrary, is commended, because she what? She kept the word of God and did not deny the name of Jesus. Now the period here, we talk about, is a period from about 1750 all the way through, okay, through until Jesus comes back. And it's present, okay, we are coexisting, if you will, not spiritually, but we are in the same period as the church at Laodicea. And we'll be talking about that next week. And the church at Laodicea is the church that we see today. Out there. Notice here in verse 9 it says, okay, I will make them fall down at your feet. Okay. Jesus assures the church at Philadelphia, and he's ensuring us, okay, here in Hill City, that he'll make the pretenders or the counterfeit church members or all those people that say they profess but they don't really possess. To recognize what we're doing for the Lord. Now whether they'll literally bow down to our feet or not, That I don't know. That's going to be in heaven, okay. But I do know the promises here. That look, if you and I are faithful to do what God has told us to do, okay, our recognition is that it is in heaven. That's what we strive for. It's not here on earth. Notice in verse 10. Verse 10 says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. What does that mean? What does that mean? First of all, we need to understand that we're not something that we fail to grasp here on this side of heaven. How important is God's word? How important is God's word? Remember, it started in the garden with our enemy. Hath God really said? If Satan could discredit, if Satan could discredit God's word, okay, Jesus would have died in vain. He would have died in vain. And I want to proclaim this morning, okay, he hasn't. He won't, and he can't. God's word is forever written. God's word is forever true. For all eternity, this thus saith the Lord. This is what God has put down. You and I can banter back and forth. You and I can disagree. It doesn't change the fact that this is God's word. This is what it says. Secondly, that they not only kept his word, but there's a promise. There's a promise here. The promise is, I will keep you from the hour of trial. What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay. This is what I proclaimed this morning. Born again Christians is not going to go through the tribulation. You're not. Why do I say that? Well, if you want to, if you want a earthly scenario, okay. God is not going to send the mafia to beat up the bride before the wedding. Simple as that. Okay. Is it going to get a lot worse before he raptures us out of here? Absolutely. Absolutely. You didn't hear it here first, okay? Read the book. We've got it easy. But there's still hard times coming. But that tribulation period, okay, where basically all hell's going to break loose, okay, we're not going to be here. Notice Noah and the flood. Before the rain started, where was Noah? Shut up in the ark. Who closed the door? God did. Notice Lot and Sodom. Why? What happened there? Before the fire fell, before the hail and brimstone and all that, he had to get out of the city, didn't he? Verse 11 says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Okay, the rapture is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. The next thing, okay, is what? For you and I, we will stand and give an account for our Christian life. It says, hold fast to your rewards. Depending on how you count them, okay, there's five, at least five crowns mentioned in Scripture. There's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. There's a crown of rejoicing.
Power on.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. There's a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. And there's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 4. Now again, let me repeat those. Incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. Crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12. And a crown of glory. You find that in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Now, I'm asking you to study some of those scriptures. Study the scriptures that we mentioned and find out how many of those crowns are you going to have? How many of those are you going to have? Now, don't worry about having more than the next guy. Okay? Don't worry about having more crowns than the Apostle Paul. Okay? That's probably not going to happen. But can I tell you something? Okay? We're going to learn later on, okay, in Scripture. Okay? Everybody's going to lay the crowns at Jesus' feet anyway. So it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. But these are crowns that's recognition. And when God says, look, here's your crown. And then he says those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. I don't care if I get a crown or not. I just want to hear those words. Now let's remember, Jesus has a plan here, okay? To the one, okay, this is verses 12 and 12 and 13. To the one who's victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's not a physical pillar, okay? Okay. But it's basically recognition is what it's talking about here. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven, okay? The New Jerusalem, okay, is going to be awesome. We'll get there, okay? But some of the research that I've done about the New Jerusalem, okay, it'll blow you away, okay? I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Folks, I want you to be encouraged this morning. And why do I say that? Look. I understand. We're not a perfect church. Because if we were a perfect church, I wouldn't be the pastor. Simple as that. But be encouraged, okay? I see a church that dearly loves the Lord. And sometimes we struggle to show that. Sometimes we struggle to do what we're supposed to do in our community. But I also see a church that's faithful and doing their best to serve the Lord in the areas of everyday life. That's encouraging to this pastor. It's also encouraging, okay, of the things that you say to me off and on, once in a while, okay, just by way of encouragement, okay, just by coming by and you know, bumping me or whatever. Folks, be encouraged. Be encouraged that, look, we're on the winning side. We know what we're about. And we need, okay, to do nothing more than to be obedient to God's word. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Do what we're supposed to be doing. God has blessed this church. Be encouraged. Keep at it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. And by all means, okay, not only keep your pastor in prayer, keep each other in prayer. Okay? We need to pray for, look, we've got some things going on in our city that, look, we need to pray for and lift up one another. Please do that. But above all, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because we serve the living God. And He is. He is our salvation, and He is our victory.